Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Highbury Squad. We've had a little bit of a break. Not much has happened, has it? Really? Anyway, let's get to it. It's episode number 45. We're recording a couple of hours after we went to Goodison and got a 0-0. Joining me today, unfortunately, isn't Super Kevin Campbell because he's away working. We miss you, Kev, but we have got a message from him later. But my sister from another mister, Miss Sophie in La La Land, who, before she says hello, I listened to on Talk Sport last night and was so goddamn proud. The sisterhood of football, honestly. If anyone hasn't listened to her on Talk Sport, she is brilliant. And what I will say before she says hello, the two guys that she was talking to at Talk Sport have massive respect for you, don't they?
I love Adam Catchrell and I adore Mickey Gray. Mickey Gray's a perfect example, and I think our guests will appreciate this, of, you know, a player who played for a club and loved that club for most of his career. And yeah, they're cool. They're really good guys. And thank you. And yeah, flying the flag for the Highbury squad and trying to put some of those TalkSport folks right about what they say about the Arsenal.
You did. I was very proud. And also, I'm really proud to welcome back one of the best people in football who's not an Arsenal fan, but funny enough, is an Everton fan. Before I say hello, it's Mr. Alan Myers, former Director of Communications at Everton, I think, and Sky Sports reporter. Hi, Al.
Hello, everybody. Yes, I'm telling you what, you said you didn't have Kev, but you've got the next best thing, I'll tell
we
you.
We have. We've got the next best toffee. We really
exactly.
have. I mean,
exactly.
He's a gooner slash toffee, isn't he?
But... Yeah. He tries to sit on the fence a little bit as to who he supports. But you know what? When he's on the Highbury Squad podcast, he's definitely a gooner. That's for sure.
Guys, if there was any player, ex-player or person that has been languishing and suffering football for the last year and year, it's Casey.
Yeah. Exactly. Talk about a double whammy.
You know what? He loves talking to you, Al. And Al, this is your hat trick. This is your third time on the Highbury squad.
This is the third time, yeah. And it's great to be back. It really is.
That's how much we love him, isn't it, Soph?
Listen, not only do we love him, but Everton fans have a huge amount of respect for Alan. And I think a lot of Evertonians, the Toffee TV guys and Eric and a lot of those guys out there know that Everton's my secret crush for a number of years. And then when we ended up doing the pod with Super Kev as well, it kind of elevated my crush. And now with Alan, I always said that if Arsenal misstepped, you know, again, with a managerial appointment, I may well become a Toffee full-time. Just so.
Oh, be quiet.
That's good to hear.
But we got it right. We got it right, Alan. I think we got it right.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that.
Well, you've got a former Toffee, of course, as manager now, haven't you?
Before we go into any of that, Mr. Myers, me and Sophie have to have a quick 2-minute roundup because I don't even remember when we last recorded. And B, a few things have slightly happened.
I'm looking forward to this.
I know. This is going to be a little bit goonerish for a few seconds.
Sophie,
last one. Emery had gone. I think Freddie was in place. I was moaning Freddie hadn't changed it. Then he changed it against West Ham, didn't he? And we haven't podded since. So
Wait, did we not pod after Man City?
I think we did. I think because you're celebrating your
1-year anniversary and you're so in love and you've bought a new house and you're all like Mills and Boone over there with your romance and stuff.
I'm so in love with Mikel Arteta. After what? Right. So for anyone that doesn't know, ridiculously, even though I've said that, Mikel Arteta's our new head coach. And I don't know. I'm so excited. I don't even know what to think because I've watched all the media stuff on him, everything at Arsenal, the training ground, his press conference. I don't ever watch press conferences. Sorry, Al, but I don't. And I watched the whole thing last night, not live. I was so impressed. I know it's words and actions. I know we have to see that. But what I loved, Soph and Al, is the fact that he is ex-Arsenal. He gets us, I think. And the fact he's worked under Pep at a massive club. And I did tweet about this last week when the rumours were getting heavier that he was coming in. That for me, he has taken a massive gamble here. We are a shit show at the moment. There's no doubt about it. I'm not being negative. It's fact, which is terrible. Now, he's taken a massive gamble because he's never been a head coach. And if his first job as a head coach is at our place and he doesn't succeed, what's on his CV? But I respect him so much and so love him and watched everything yesterday that I'm pretty excited. Aren't you, Soph?
I can't begin to tell you how much I feel as, and I'm really curious to get into the conversation with Alan a little bit more in terms of which club maybe made the better decision. But for me as an Arsenal fan, when we've been putting band-aids on problems for a number of seasons now, and our FA Cups, as glorious and as pleasing as they were, kind of masked a lot of pain. I also felt Emery was a band-aid because, you know, our desperation to get back into Champions League football, not because we know that we can compete in Champions League football, Amanda, but because the money in Champions League football makes sense for a football club like Arsenal. And having been out of it now for the last three seasons, are we going into our fourth season maybe next year without Champions League football? Who knows? I think so. But without that money, it becomes even more difficult to compete in the transfer market. But then it also becomes impossible to attract top players. It's amazing that we attracted the likes of Aubameyang and Lacazette and Pepe without Champions League football. So, you know, I think the Emery experiment failed because we brought him in knowing how many Europa Leagues he had won and his prowess in that competition. And I think initially Arsenal, the board, the executives were thinking, let's bring him in. He can win the Europa League. We'll get back into the Champions League and we go from there. So now we've got ourselves into a situation where we've hired a manager for the longer term, a visionary, someone who can come in, wipe the slate clean and start a new Arsenal philosophy. The old Arsenal is dead. The old culture's dead. The old winning culture is gone. We are not the same team. We don't have the same heart. We don't have the same players, passion, men, leaders. That was all buried the day we left Highbury. And to have someone like Mikel Arteta come through, and I understand people saying he doesn't have the experience and he'll be tested at the highest level, but I also believe that you know and see and understand football visionaries when they speak, when they say something, the way they can attract a room. You know, it was, I'm not comparing him to Jose Mourinho because when he went to Chelsea, he had already won the Champions League with Porto. But when he arrived and said, I'm the special one, that confidence, that arrogance in a good way is what Arsenal Football Club need. And to hear him say some of the things he did in the press conference about zero tolerance on attitude, effort, camaraderie, teamwork, behavior will not be tolerated and accepted under his watch. This is somebody who's learned from Wenger. This is somebody who's learned from Pep Guardiola. This is somebody who's played at the highest level in his career. He's led two amazing teams, two of the most storied football teams in the history of English football. And I believe the last two teams to never have been relegated from either the Division One or Premier League ever. So I'm excited and I'm thrilled. And as much as I love Ancelotti, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. I think he could have come in and created some short-term fixes for us. I actually think he's probably better suited to Everton. And it's really comparable, though, you guys, and I'll wrap this up in a very quick nutshell here, is Everton need massaging. They need player coaching. They need someone to put their arms around players and bring them along. Arsenal need the same thing too. But I almost feel because of Arsenal's culture and recent history in the Premier League, recreating another legacy and vision makes more sense with Arteta than it would have with Ancelotti.
Wow.
Yeah, listen, you know, what you said there sums it up perfectly. I think what I would say, first of all, it was bizarre today. You know, I was at Goodison, obviously, for Sky today, and it was bizarre to see, and I think the first time ever it's happened, where two managers who were about to take over football clubs were in the director's box. Yeah. And it was very strange. But what I would say, I do believe in answer to the original question, you know, have the managers gone to the right clubs? I do believe that is the case. And I think, you know, when you look at, and okay, you can always argue that, you know, a number two coming into the top job there's not a lot of successes you can look back and say, well, that worked and that didn't work and that did. Mourinho probably is one, although he was more an interpreter, I think, rather than an assistant. I think knowing Mikel Arteta, which I do, I think he has the intelligence. I think he has the confidence. I think he has the wherewithal. You know, I think he's someone who knows his own mind. He's not someone who'll be delighted to be there, you know, in a sense, you know, and just can't believe it. You know, it won't be like that. He will be a manager who knows exactly what he wants and how to get it. And I think you have got the right manager without a doubt. Look, it's not going to be easy. And I think, you know, it's not easy for any manager in the Premier League, no matter who you are and how many years you've had experience. But what he will do, he'll come with a fantastic pedigree within the Premier League as a player, but also, you know, at Manchester City and everything that's gone on there over the last few years that he's been involved in. He's also, you know, he knows Arsene Wenger's way of working, so he'll understand. But what he has to do, and you talked about him connecting in the press conference, and you're completely right, Amanda. He was, you know, I was transfixed to listening to him because you listen to him. And what he's got to do is connect with that dressing room. And that's where success comes for a manager. You have to connect with the players.
Now,
whoever those players are.
Go on. Can I just jump in now? Because this is something I was just about to mention. Sorry to cut you off, because I could listen to you all day anyway. Is the fact that what he's got to do in that dressing room is show him who's boss, kick out the ones that don't want to be there, because there are a few that don't want to be there, and play with the players that do want to train with the players that do want to be there. We have got a great young squad. You saw a few of them today. That Martinelli has got so much potential. Yeah. It's frightening. But I think what we need, and I think he is the right man, and I think he was probably right to turn it down 18 months ago. He probably wasn't ready. But I just want to come back to the Ancelotti thing that Sophie was talking about. And I tweeted about this. Just because a man has won trophies doesn't mean he's going to be successful at the next club. Emery won the Europa. He wasn't successful with us. Mikel, in effect, has not been a head coach, so has not won anything. There's no guarantee. I do feel like there's quite a few Arsenal fans that wanted Ancelotti or Allegri, you know, would have preferred that. I think Arteta fits us, definitely.
It doesn't matter who he is. What have you got to do? The manager has to do. And it's interesting what you say about the players, but he has to connect with those players. But he also has to connect. He also has to connect with the players who, because you can't these days in football, you can't just kick out players who you don't want. It's not as simple as that.
He can put them on the bench.
Of course,
and let him know who's boss. Because I tell you something,
and he will as well.
The whole circus, which is what we need, the whole circus with Emery and Ozil. If you listen to Freddie's comments today,
I was sat in front of him when he said them.
What did he say, Al?
And he basically said that he, you know, even if Ozil was fit today, which I don't think he was, he wouldn't have played because what he saw against Manchester City.
And do you know
he
what?
Also said, John, by the way, that he was going to be speaking with Mikel tomorrow, I think. Because Arsenal have told Freddie Ljungberg that they want him to be involved and they want him to stay, which I think was a good thing because you talk about how Mikel Arteta was so articulate. Freddie Ljungberg, I was so impressed tonight with him, the way he spoke after the game. So good. And I think he can be a very big part of Mikel's team going forward. But you're right. The manager has to go in there and Mikel has the confidence. He will go into that dressing room and he will say what he wants. He won't go and think, you know, he's in a great position and all the rest of it and be starstruck in any way, shape or form. You know, he will know what he's got to do. He'll know who the good players are and who aren't, and he will make that difference. As I said, it's not easy. You can't just go in and kick players out, but what you can do, especially expensive players, you know, but what you can do is get the best out of them, and I think he'll do that whichever way it takes him.
I love that he did that, Amanda, don't you? I love that he did that before the game and after the game when he said, yes, he might be carrying something, which, by the way, can we share Super Kevin Campbell's joke about why someone was asking KC why, I think Amanda asked KC why Ozil isn't playing, and KC said that's because he got injured kicking his gloves, which we thought was hilarious. But when you hear what Freddie said, very indicative of what is now not acceptable at the Arsenal. Go on, Amanda. Sorry.
Do you know what? I'm going to bring Kev's message in a second, but I will also say that I love that. And I'm a massive, massive Ozil fan. And this is where it all stemmed from out with the Xhaka incidents as well. Mm-hmm. Emery has never really had control, unfortunately. And I, you know what? I wish him so much well in his future football life. Emery came out today and said how Mikel Arteta will fit us. He wants it to work. He thinks it's a brilliant acquisition for us. And you know what? What I think is when Mikel, and I said this to my other half, seeing two new managers in the stands at the same game, I've never seen.
It's never happened before.
It could, you know, you often see a manager sitting in the stands that comes down to the changing room. Not two of them. It was bizarre that we played you. And Arteta's ex-Everton and he loves Everton as well. So
I'll be honest with you, first half, though, I thought both of them would share a taxi home, to be honest, because they wouldn't have liked what they saw, I'll tell you.
It was pretty awful,
All of us as fans always loved Arteta. We never had an issue with him. He came in. He was professional. I love that he has worked under Pep at a big club that have won things. He knows how it should be done. I want him to bring discipline back. I don't want to see these players on social media until we start winning. They should be quiet. They should be getting on with their job, their training. It's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing, our defending, that I don't even know what to think about it anymore. I mean, today was our first clean sheet in 14 or 15 matches. Sorry, I may have got the numbers wrong, but it's around the 15 mark, right? A club of our size, 15 matches without a clean sheet is disgraceful, considering in the 80s we were called boring Arsenal for winning 1-0 under George Graham, who inherited, we had one of the best defences. It's embarrassing. But anyway,
I don't think it was in danger today, because I think the first shot on goal came on 38 minutes.
38 well, minutes.
You had 38 and we had 44 minutes. Martinelli, who was miles wide, had the first shot for us. Mm. And I even said, you know, to be fair, we weren't very good and you weren't very good. It just didn't seem. And when halfway through, I thought.
I want to understand, though, from Al, is that. Was it because, Amanda, did we play a little bit better defensively, or were Everton that bad? Considering that Everton, we've seen, Alan, in the last two games under Duncan Ferguson, what do you attribute it to? Because you were so poor that we actually looked good in the second half, which is pretty bad for you.
Look, I think there was some good defending by Arsenal today, actually. There were people diving in front of all kinds of things, which was good to see. And I think a manager, certainly Mikel sitting in the stands, would be delighted to see that. I think if you told any of us Evertonians after the game against Norwich, you know, a Liverpool game was one of those things, you know, it's sort of half expected, if you like. But after the game against Norwich, if you just said Duncan Ferguson will come in, get a victory against Chelsea, draw with Manchester United away, draw with Leicester in the cup, only to go out by penalties, and then get a draw with Arsenal, I think they'd have bit your hand off at the time, because it just didn't look possible. What he's brought is he's got a reaction. And this is what we were saying before about Mikel. He's got a reaction out of the players. You know, in whichever way he's done it, I was speaking to a player tonight as I was leaving from the car park, and he said to me, I can't believe, even I'm a bit shocked, he said, I can't believe how well Duncan has done in these last few games. He said he has just got the lads together and made them play. You know, he's been calm when he needed to be, he's been passionate when he needed to be. And I think this is, you know, I think we underestimate that in football now. We're all looking for these managers with, you know, all these technical abilities and, you know, all these different people that they bring into the game. I think people have forgotten about passion. And you've both talked about it early on. And I think, you know, there's a stat at Everton where the only managers to win trophies for Everton since the war have been manager who played for the club. And I think there's something in that. And I think the fact that Mikel Arteta understands Arsenal, you know, I saw the pictures the other day on his last game where he was so upset, you know, about leaving the club. And I think that means something. I don't care who it is. This is life, and people react in that way to that sort of passion, that sort of commitment. And, you know, if people see it, they will go along with it and they
absolutely
will buy into it. That's why I think he's the right manager for Arsenal.
He is, but I think Freddie's done a little bit with this team. Yes. As I said, mm-hmm. Leaving Ozil out, if he wasn't injured, he would have left him out.
Yeah.
The fact that he's come in and tried, and we love Freddie. And the fact is that, I even thanked him on Twitter tonight and said, you did your best with what you had. I think in answers to Sophie's question, we got a clean sheet because I just think both teams weren't very good.
That would definitely contribute.
Yeah, I don't think that. But also, I'd like to go back and say something about Duncan Ferguson as well, Al, which you might not have seen because you were at the game, but what he only did after that game with your fans melted me, and I'm not a toffee. And I remember Duncan Ferguson growing up and what a player he was. Yeah. He wasn't he didn't come across to me as the kindest sort of player. He was a bit big dunk, wasn't it? Right.
Yeah.
He went over to your disabled supporters, gave cuddles, and he gave out, hats. He was just with the fans because he is a fan. He is a fan.
He's also very good at PR. Sorry.
I've known Duncan for a long, long time.
Sophie, it was lovely what he did. Oh, come on. He was so happy that he, and then he pushed a fist to the stand.
A little bit too happy after that performance. No,
I disagree.
He acted like
he
celebrated winning like the league.
Yeah, but he hadn't lost to Arsenal.
Saying hi to the fans, saying hi to the fans is one thing. I totally agree with that. It's brilliant, but he's a, okay,
I just want to finish. When he turned around to Ancelotti and did his fist to say, it's your turn now, here we go, we didn't lose, I've done my job. That's how I see it. I don't see it as sceptical or cynical like Sophie. I think that, and you're obviously going to tell me now, but I think he's an Everton man at heart.
He is. I'll tell you something about Duncan Ferguson, and I know him as good as anybody, I think. I was there when Howard Kendall called him up to the office and asked him to be captain, and he was almost in tears because it just means so much to him. The club means everything to him. And he would, coming out of the training ground, this stuff he did for fans that nobody ever got to know about, because, he had a reputation as a player. He was a bit of a lad, and he was a character, if we say it nice, but he was tough. He was, it was controversial. He was everything, but the way he was with fans, believe me, that is 100% real. He would drive out to the training ground with nobody there. There'd be a few kids there. He'd just tell them to open his boot and take what they wanted from his boots. He would go to the hospital without being asked to go. He would do, and he's always done that. He gives more to the Everton in the community than any other player I've ever known, and gets involved with them more than any other player I've ever known. So that is real.
And, I totally respect that, Alan.
He really is. However, what I would say is, I think what this period that he's had, the interim manager, I think he's so emotional about the club that I think it's really taken him, knocked him back a little bit, and he couldn't believe he's actually stood on there making those decisions. And I think he's sort of gone along with it almost as a fan, if you like, as well as a player and a coach and whatever, you want to describe him as. And I think there is a little bit of that, and there's a little bit. And yes, there will be people. And I hear what you're saying, Sophie. There will be people who say you shouldn't be celebrating a 0-0 draw at home, and that's a fair point. However, I think because of where he is, because of the situation, I think he's absolutely delighted to end his little spell in charge undefeated, and I think that means so much to him, if you like.
Ask you this, because I do have a Mikel question, and I know we have you for limited time, but I do want to wrap this up with something real quick. With that said, I feel that both managers, less Freddie but mostly Duncan, made it about himself today, not about Everton Football Club. And I wanted to ask you, I understand wanting to make a stance and subbing Moises Keane. And then you do the same to Tosin today, which to me was, again, making it a little bit more about, I'm Duncan Ferguson, big tough guy. If you're not playing well, I'm going to sub you, even if I've subbed you on. And I felt that was a parting shot in some ways. And maybe that is the kind of journalistic cynical side of me looking at another angle for a story that maybe I can create an arc and thread that comes from some truth. And maybe I'm misreading the situation.
I think you are. I think what he does is he makes, and this is where he will learn as a manager, but I think he makes decisions from the heart. And I think, you know, sometimes you don't, you know, you have to make them with the head. But he will not be doing it for Duncan Ferguson. He will be doing it because it's Everton. And yeah, everything he does, every decision he makes is what he thinks is for the good of the club. And I can say that 100%. You know, and I'm a journalist. You know, I'm more than happy to say, and I'm not blue tinted glasses, you know, as some people might think I am. You know, if something's not right, I will say it. If I think something's a certain way, I will say it. I promise you, he will make that decision because he thinks that from respect for Everton Football Club, because he knows he put everything in when he played. He put everything in when he coaches. And I think if he doesn't see that, and I think that's what happened with Moise Keane last week at Old Trafford, and I think it happened probably with Cenk Tosun today. If he doesn't see it, he'll make the point, and he'll make them. And I think we go back to that tough love, or not tough love, but, you know, that tough way of dealing with it. I think if, you know, it's like Freddie Ljungberg has talked about Ozil today. He didn't have to say what he said today because, you know, he was injured or whatever, or he had an illness or whatever it was, you know, but he did say it because he wants to make sure that people get that message that playing for Arsenal, playing for Everton in Duncan's case, means something. And I think that's what you've got to get back in both mm-hmm. clubs, because I think both clubs have lost that.
I agree with that completely. Amanda and I talk about this all the time, and especially with Super Kev, about what it means to play for the club. And
Kev's as passionate as they come.
Absolutely.
As passionate as they come.
And I think that's a little bit lost in the modern day player. Okay, so
it is. Yeah.
Before I throw it back to Amanda, I have a question for you, and it's important because it's Mikel Arteta related, and as you know, you know, he and Carlo are the main stories mm-hmm. in football in the last couple of days, Alan.
Yep.
But you worked mm-hmm. with Mikel firsthand. You were around him. I know we talked briefly at the beginning of the show, but what I want Arsenal fans to understand is, I have a personal family person that knows of Mikel and his family because their kids went to school together. And all right. I've heard are the most amazing, wonderful things about the great human being he is, which I think, and Amanda and I talk about this personally a lot, about humanity, people, treating people the right way, talking to them the right way, the way we want to be spoken to as women, as colleagues, as people, as humans. And yeah. I want you to give us an anecdote or an insight or something that reinforces the fact that what Amanda and I and KC believe, that this guy is the guy that if you give him the time and everyone's patient, he could truly build something special. And I want to hear it from someone who saw his sweat drop, you know, in the corridors of Goodison Park.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see that. But what I would say is that when you work at a football club, and I wasn't actually working there when Mikel was there, but I was very close from, you know, because I was working for Sky. So I was very close to that. And I know the people who know him, and I would talk to him, you know, on a sort of one-to-one basis, if you like, rather than just as a journalist, a member of the press. And I think I can give you two instances, actually. One was while we were there, we were filming some Christmas things. You know, the players were going out, and one of the things was that Mikel was going to go around to somebody's house not far from the training ground and give them a season ticket, a half season ticket. You know, it was January or something, and he was just going to surprise this guy with a half season ticket. We went round there and we were told that we'd have 15 minutes with him, you know, blah blah blah, you know, and we had to then do a quick interview and go because he needed to go. About an hour and a half later, 2 hours, we were still sat on the settee with this guy, this wow. fan, who just couldn't believe, you know, that this was. And Mikel, and I've met a number of players through my career when I was a press officer at Everton in the 90s, and then when I went back into, and not many of them, what I call, do their job and some, you know. And what Mikel does, and you know, I remember John Collins, you know, former Everton player, it was the same, and I've seen players like that. Mikel stayed there because he wanted to, you know, not because he had to, because he wanted to. And he sat having a cup of tea with this guy who was, you know, sort of 40 odd years of age. He wasn't a kid. And he just sat in conversation. And this guy, still today, because he lived not far from me, you know, and still today, he talks about it and he says how much of an effect Mikel Arteta had on him, you know, that day. Now, the second bit was when he left and joined Arsenal. If you remember, it was very late on transfer deadline day. And the next morning, I asked if he would do something, and I'd tried, and I was getting back from the club. No, you can't do nothing. You're not going to do anything. And then I got a phone call, and it was from, it wasn't actually Mikel himself, but it was somebody connected to Mikel. And they rang me and said, Mikel said, if you want to come round to his house, he'll do an interview for you before you go. And he went out of his way. Now, really, you know, he was going off to join another club. You know, he shouldn't have been bothered. But he promised me that he'd do an interview, and he did it. And I went round to his house, and we did this interview in his garden before he actually got in a car to go down to Arsenal and join Arsenal. And it was, it's those sort of little things, I think, which determine, you know, a human being. And I think the description of him, that he's a really good human being, I think is bang on. And I think that's what you gain when he goes into the dressing room, because footballers see that, players see that, and players respond to that. You know, people think they're all these heartless, commercialized assets, you know, but believe me, when it comes down to it, players respond to that human, attachment and that human connection. And I think Mikel has got that in abundance, and I think that's what will make a difference as manager of Arsenal.
Do you know what, Al? I could listen to you all day. Honestly, well, you know how much I
do, like,
adore
a 2-hour
you.
Special. Amanda.
We do, but
you can't, because I've got chicken goujons waiting for me. You know,
not today.
So classy. Al, just, I know you've got to rush off soon, but I just want to go through. Just change it slightly. Mm-hmm. So, after the game, on social media, there has been quite a few statuses claiming that in the crowd, the Arsenal fans were singing they want Arsenal Fan TV out of their club.
Yeah.
And then I saw a video. So you was at the game. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I heard the chanting, yeah. Okay. And I found it very odd, because I was wondering what they were saying first. And I spoke to a colleague, you know, in the press box. I said, what are they singing? And he said that they said get out of our club fan TV. And it was quite interesting, really, because as we had to do some pieces to camera and stuff after the game, and as I was walking around, there was a small group of Arsenal fans, and this is a good 2 hours after the game, and it was Robbie and the guys from Arsenal fan TV, and they were doing their stuff. There was only around about 12-15 people with them, you know. It wasn't a big crowd, but but they were still there doing their bit. And I, you know, and listen, I don't know, you know, I'm coming into this as a bit of an outsider in a sense, you know, but you know, all I've ever seen from Arsenal fans TV is passion. All I've ever seen is people who care about their club, and as we all do. And I don't know what the argument is. I don't know, you know, I don't know.
I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah.
Right. But, so the thing is, Al, right, I saw a video late on. I think they had Hassel outside. I think they must have just come back, because they normally have hundreds and hundreds of Arsenal fans around them. And then they record with their crew as such.
Yeah.
But as you said, there was only 12 of them. I reckon they've come back. Now, I will argue to the hilt on this, and I have done with, funny enough, a Liverpool fan was talking to me about it, Arsenal fans and this. The thing is, I know Robbie well. I was on Arsenal Fan TV many, many years ago doing something completely different. I know most of the crew, I'd say up three quarters of them. I'm still friendly with Robbie and all this. Now, I'm just this is my opinion, nothing to do with anyone else. Robbie's been on our podcast and I see the guys around Arsenal. For anyone to say these people that talk on Arsenal Fan TV want Arsenal to lose is absolute bollocks. Okay. What their argument is when they lose, they get more hits to the site.
Right.
Again, I don't think that's true. Right. I think on their winning, we haven't won much. So all they do, Al, okay, they feel like us, but they go on camera and they spurt it out in their ways. Mm. The argument is that they're not Arsenal supporters, which is untrue. As I said, I do know most of them. Mm. And that they fund their career on Arsenal's demise. Mm. Now, my argument is, if you don't like it, don't watch it. I don't
absolutely.
Watch it. Right.
Yeah,
I watched one tonight for the first time in many years because Sophie sent me something to watch. Right. I had a quick minute. It's not for me. But what I will say, and I'm saying this to Arsenal fans listening to this as well, No one speaks for me. And I don't speak for anyone. So when I sit here and I tell you what I think of Mikel Arteta, Stan Kroenke, Gunnosaurus, Freddie Ljungberg, that's my opinion and I'm entitled to it. You do not have to agree. If you don't like listening to my voice, then you don't listen to the podcast. Is that not simple in life that you just switch off? Arsenal Fan TV are not bigger than our club, as I put someone straight. They don't affect me in any way, shape or form. I have nothing to do with them anymore. I just don't do anything with them. But I don't see the problem personally. I think, and Sophie will come back with her argument, Al, they're passionate fans that are distraught. It comes across in a way where it ridicules our club. I'm sorry. Yeah. The players on the pitch and the owner ridicule our club. So I won't
have any of that. And when you put yourself out there, as they do, and the lads at Toffee TV will have suffered from this as well, you're there to be shot at and you will get shot at. And you have to accept that. But, you know, from what I've seen of Arsenal Fan TV, and to be fair, I felt they were the first of the type. They were the ones I sat up and watched first before any of these fan TV things started. And I've always felt that I can understand some of the arguments at times that they go over the top and whatever, but they are passionate and, you know, it is what it is. And we should always be happy to allow people to, as long as they're not, you know, rude and things like that, you know, I think we should always be allow people to have their say. And I think that's what they do. Don't think we didn't hear that then.
Unfortunately, Al's got to go and I've got to play Kev's message. So me and you will talk about Arsenal Fan TV in a sec.
All right. But I wanted to give a shout out to Peter and Ped, who's a great friend of the show and Toffee TV. Great and lads. They paid homage to Robbie and AFTV because they were trailblazers. That's all. I know. Al, enjoy your chicken goujons.
But we're going to just wait. 1 second. I just want to play Kev's message to us. But the thing is as well, I say it, Al, if you don't like Sky Sports, you turn it off. If you don't like what you hear, you have an off button. Why are you so upset that these people go on camera? And to be fair, I know it sounds odd, most of the things they say I agree with what's going on at the club. Not everything. And I don't watch it. But as I said, I do meet them out and about at the ground and stuff. Mm. And I just feel, really, you're going to sing that when Mikel Arteta's sitting in the stands? Yeah. I think it's a little bit wasteful. I don't think it's cheesy. I don't think it's necessary. Anyway, I know you've got to go, Kev. But Kev. Yeah.
I have Barbara, yes.
I'm Barbara on a Saturday, definitely.
Ooh, Barbara, cool.
I'm just going to play Kev's message to everybody. Okay. 1 second. Okay. Here we go.
Can't wait for this.
Hi, Amanda. Hi, Sophie. Hi, everyone at the Hybrid Squad. Hi, Big Al. How you doing? Hope you have a great show. Look after yourselves, everybody. Merry Christmas to all the listeners. And thanks for all your comments and supporting us at the Hybrid Squad. Take good care. Think the world of you all. And have a wonderful, wonderful time. Take care.
Oh, that was our
Don't
care.
You just love him? Love him, mate? Yes, you know what? There's something about him that you just cannot help but love. And Kev is so, you know, and I know I was joking before a little bit earlier about him, you know, about sitting on the fence. But he is such a passionate gooner. He really is. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, it's deep in his heart, Arsenal. But the way he cares for Everton, you know, for someone who, you know, didn't play for us for a long time, you know, in comparison to other players. But what he did for us when he came to Everton was just so special. And I think the love is two ways. And I think we all understand that his real heart is as a gooner. But what a great fella. And that was a lovely message, that really.
Oh, it is. The thing is, me and Soph and Kev, we're like brothers and sisters. We argue continuously on our WhatsApp group. Oh. 1 minute it's Sophie and him, the next minute it's me and him, and then it's Sophie and me. And it's great. And
it frightens me sometimes when I see you arguing. It's like a proper family argument.
Al, if you were in our WhatsApp group, honestly, you would have left the group. Sometimes I watch them two go and I go, I'm staying out this time. But you know what? He has been brilliant. And honestly, Everton is so close to his heart.
Oh, I know.
And he loves, and you know, I mean, you know him.
Does.
You, you knew him when he was playing for Everton. But yeah. he is a gooner, full stop. Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
But he does, and he loves you as well, and he's upset he's not with us. So, Al, listen, thank you so much.
That's been a pleasure.
To come on your podcast.
Yeah.
I keep saying,
did you just invite yourself? Did you just literally invite yourself?
Many times.
Only
I've got no say on it.
If he serves chicken goujons, I'll come too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me tell you something, Sophie, about Alan. He is just one of the nicest men in football you'll ever want to talk to. Honestly, he's just fabulous. And I can't thank you enough for giving us your time because I know you need to go.
Thanks, Alan.
Listen.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Merry Christmas to everyone. And, you know, now you've played us up the gooners. That's what I'm going to say.
Yes, get in!
Get in there, a toffee. And we want you to do well. You're a great club with great history and great fans. Yeah. You know how much I love the city. I love it out there.
Two longest serving top flight teams in the country. Let's not forget that.
Please God, by both of us, that we both start playing and winning.
This time next year, we'll be ballers.
Happy millionaire.
Absolutely.
Happy New Year, Al. We'll see you soon.
Happy Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone listening.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, top shelf. Eh?
He so is.
I may have a crush on him.
An Alan Myers toffee crush, eh?
Well, look, since I moved to America, I don't know what it is, but I've befriended a lot of toffee fans and... I think because I interviewed a few of their players while I was out here as well, when I moved here, and to me they felt like in the 80s I really admired Liverpool and Everton. I think you know the story, especially. I loved Liverpool. Okay, Arsenal fans, crucify me. Sorry, say whatever you want. Because of Kenny Dalglish, I just loved watching him play football. Yeah. He was amazing. And that 80s FA Cup squad, Everton, the rivalry then, I don't know, Graham Sharp, Ratcliffe, all those players, Peter Reid. I mean, they were just all, it was just a fun team to watch. And Goodison, I always used to think it was Highbury's twin, Amanda. Like the stadiums are so alike, aren't they? Really, when you think about how close the fans are to the pitch and everything.
Yeah.
So I've always had a crush on Everton.
I used to have a crush.
Did you go out with someone who screwed that up?
Shush. Nothing to do with it. Oh, my God. You give all my secrets out. Honestly, Sophie Nicolau.
No, I do.
Yes, I have been out of a toffee. I love the city of Liverpool. I've just never been to Goodison. I've been to Anfield now 3 or 4 times.
What?
But I would have gone this season, but again, it's so close to Christmas, I couldn't go today. But he's one of the best guests, honestly. He's so down to earth and so such a great guy, and so he loves Everton. So he is Everton. He is.
He bleeds blue. Just to go, we would get the royal treatment at Goodison with Casey and Alan. Are you serious?
We need to do it. Honestly, it would be amazing to watch us there.
We got to pick a game for next season.
I want to be fair to you because I had to cut you off with the Arsenal fan TV thing that's happened today and let you come back and then we'll move on. So go for it, baby.
Okay, so I didn't like those scenes. Agree or disagree with Arsenal fan TV, and I have people in my life that really do not like them at all and refuse to watch one thing about it. They find them crass and embarrassing. And then I have other people in my life that... you know, are watch it. I have opposing fans who I think are actually half the audience, to be honest with you, that watch Arsenal fan TV. And during our demise under the Wenger era, I think it was the opposing fans that made it even more popular than Arsenal fans. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. But to seeing Robbie kind of being approached like that, it made me feel really uncomfortable. I didn't like that at all. And, you know, whatever you want to say about Robbie, he's a very smart business person and he came up with a concept that now other clubs have followed. And I did mention, Alan mentioned Toffee TV and Peter McPartland, who's a huge friend of the show. And he kind of came out and said something on Twitter too, saying if it wasn't for Robbie, Toffee TV wouldn't exist either, Amanda. And I just think that people see someone swearing and being venomous and coming across as a thug maybe because, and I'm going to say this with respect, but, you know, people are very judgmental. They see someone with tattoos and earrings and they're yelling and they're cussing and they're saying all of these things, and it's really antagonistic and it's against the team, and it becomes like this vitriolic vortex of emotions. And yet you also have, you know, someone like Robbie, who really has never been like that on the network at all. And he's the guy who kind of put it all together. And I think someone like Troops is kind of a comic book character. I mean, seriously, if you meet him in real life, I mean, he's kind of like a teddy bear with a shotgun. I mean,
he's lovely.
Yeah, he's a fun person. And I saw him interact with fans here in the US, and he had time for everybody and was lovely to everybody. So I do also agree with the argument a little bit, and I have a segment on various talk sport shows, Amanda, as you know, and as you mentioned earlier. And what is the difference between someone calling up talk sport and yelling and maybe sounding like a buffoon versus someone sounding like a buffoon on AFTV or super smart on AFTV and super smart on talk sport? Media's changed, you know. I do remember a lot of journalists that I worked with for many years in my career at 20th Century Fox and Sony Pictures at the premier newspapers and magazines in the country, and they turned their noses up when bloggers first came out. They were like, they're not journalists. I mean, they're not journalists. I actually went to college. I went to university and became a journalist major. They're not journalists. And it took a long time for bloggers to be accepted as media. And I had to deal with that a lot in my career with the various projects that I was working on. And so to see that evolution now where you have fan TV, fan blogs, people like us, you know, we get into certain events because of our podcast. You know, we're a pretty decent crew. We've got an ex-Arsenal and Everton player and professional. We have you who's been around the game and is a season ticket holder at Arsenal, has been going since the time she was born, who's as informed as any journalist who would be writing about Arsenal. And then you have me, who has the film and TV and entertainment career background, and also just been doing radio pretty much since the early 90s. So does that make us less qualified, Amanda, to talk about Arsenal than someone on national radio? Of course not. So I do feel like, as much as you may agree or disagree with AFTV, that they don't deserve the abuse. I don't agree with a lot of people on there. I send you stuff all the time and I say, can you believe how stupid this sounds? And I admit that. But I also credit, you know, like Kevin has a show on AFTV. But Kevin's show is really measured and calm and presented professionally. And he talks with intel and has a great message. He doesn't try and do anything to get attention. He just loves talking about football. And it just so happens, AFTV is a network now, Amanda. It's just like saying, I'm not saying the BBC and all that, but there's networks, you know, cable channels, and then it evolved to YouTube channels, and YouTube channels are their own networks now, and they have an audience, and it's real. There's an 8-year-old that made $26 million on YouTube this year. It's a business, and it's no different to TalkSport having advertisers, or, you know, ITV having advertisers, or BT.
But again, you have a choice, Soph. Don't watch it.
Absolutely, that too.
What about all the TV that I love, all the reality shows that most people think are shit, yeah? I don't want that off air because I love them, right?
We're talking about Love Island the most, aren't we?
Love Island, Big Brother, all the things that I love.
I'm
all
a celebrity.
Real Housewives of wherever, because I love them all.
Great, and you know? I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out Here. If we could do a podcast version of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, oh my God, we must make
this. I'll be out within 10 seconds.
Oh, geez. Could you imagine you with, you know, like lead judges and, you know, we could throw Danny in there from a Bergkamp Wonderland. I mean, Ask Blog. I mean, seriously. Then Casey comes in as the secret guest, like 3 weeks in.
I mean, look, it just doesn't bother me. So I suppose, and it's nothing to do with the fact that I know that it isn't, because you know me, I'm as honest as they come. It just doesn't bother me. I don't watch it. I don't care. I come out the ground and I'm fuming, and me and my cousin will walk off to the car and we're cussing and we're doing this, and I don't really know why anyone would want to watch me and my cousin doing that. Or we'll argue in the car if my dad was there. We're no different. Every fan has an opinion when they walk out, especially the last couple of years, the last 10 years. So just, I don't know. I think there's more to worry about, if I'm honest, but I don't see it like that. But anyway, let's move on to happier times.
Do you think, really, before you go, do you think they're going to get banned from recording outside the Emirates? I feel like that's what it's leading to.
Well, if they do, they'll go on the street. You can't ban them from the street. Exactly. So they'll be just outside the armory or wherever they are. And I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. But I don't think Arsenal are that bothered. It's been going on for quite a few years. I just think that social media can be a really very ugly platform, as you know, with anti-Semitism, racism, sexism, everything. And I think, as we spoke before about humanity, if you disagree with someone, I have brilliant disagreements with people all day long that are very respectful. And then you get the idiots telling me to go back in the kitchen. Well, obviously, I always have a most sarcastic answer for that. I'm not bothered. It doesn't bother me. I've been going to football since I was 3 or 4, I think, and watched it all my life. And that's it. I don't justify myself to anyone. But I do love social media for the interaction and the fact that, yes, I met my other half on there. And
not everyone finds love on social media. Come on now.
Finding love on Twitter. But I deal with a lot of, I try to be respectful to people that I'm just a respectful person. But if you're going to come at me, expect some sarcasm. That's all I'm going to say.
From you, no. Oh, God. You know what? I just thought of something. I thought to myself, well, because your dad's to blame for everything, as we know.
Yeah.
Super Kelvin. And I realised we have a Super Kevin and a Super Kelvin.
We do. Do you know what? He's never, ever, ever done a podcast.
He's got to come and be a guest.
He does. I would have to sit with him
for a nostalgic trip down memory lane, so these younger Arsenal fans can understand a little bit about what this club is.
He's been going since the late 50s. I mean, God knows how many years that is.
He's seen two double winning years. Then he's seen two.
Yes, he was there. He was there at the White Hart Lane that night in the 70s, I remember my first live final, watching it, was United in 79.
Oh, my God, what a final.
Ipswich when we lost in 78. I remember 79 more. And I remember he was there. And he went out with the players after with my mum, and they went to this do. And I was at home. I was only 10 or 11. So football, I think my dad will be listening to this because he does listen. But he's obsessed. But he doesn't go anymore because he's older and he can't. It's financial, and the fact that he didn't like Wenger and doesn't like Kroenke, he's not going to give them their money. So, we're not going to go into the finger bit.
Do you know what's really funny is you're 80.
Can I just say something, though? Honestly, 24/7, he talks football to me. He messages me. He doesn't even ask how I am. Have you any news to tell me? He says to me, don't you, Dad? And, he'd be nodding now. And you know what? People like him, I don't care that he doesn't go. He's, in my eyes, the biggest gooner on the planet. Mm-hmm. He bleeds Arsenal. Even when he was ill, he asked the doctor who they supported.
I remember that story.
Oh, my God. The stories I've got of over the years. I mean, honestly, he would be brilliant. We wouldn't get a word in on the podcast. We would just sit there.
That's great. But, you could just tell his stories.
We must have Daddy Kelvin on.
Definitely. Think about it. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have been at Anfield in 89. And then
I wouldn't have.
About your dad's night in 89 and mine, how it was euphoric for you there, being there in the stadium and up in Liverpool. And then what it felt like being in London and in North London, especially because the players went to the bar where we all used to go and hang out, the Pink Elephant, which became, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank, but it was the Pink Elephant. Yeah. Southgate.
Let me tell you a little story about 89. Just one little story of my dad, right? When Mickey Thomas first went through and missed, I looked at him and I thought, I just want to go home. I don't want to sit in traffic. This is me, and obviously I was, 19, like a stroppy teenager. I went, can we go? And he went, no, we're not leaving. And we never left early. So we never did that anyway. So it was alien to him. And I went, well, we're not going to win, are we? Famous last words. And if he'd have turned around and said yes, I may have missed that moment because I was happy to go because I was so pissed off it was 1-1 and it was a couple of minutes to go. So, you know, yeah, he is. He's brilliant. He's just on his, wherever he goes, he wears his Arsenal jacket, he's in Tesco, wherever he is.
I love
right?
him. He's so awesome.
And people always say to me, you're Kelvin's daughter, aren't you? You're the mad gooner as well. It's just, I'm not known for anything else. But anyway, moving on. Right, so we're going to have to end
say
it,
one
so,
real go. Quick, though, real quick, because I wish I had that, because my dad was a Man United fan and I was an Arsenal right. fan. And
how so, did that happen? How did you become Arsenal if he was United?
Because he's United. My sister, my older sister was United, and then my brother became a Tottenham fan.
Oh, which my is, God.
I know, my brother's a Spurs fan. I think it's the only time I've ever admitted this publicly. Hello, my name's Sophie and my brother is a Tottenham fan. I'm ready to go through the 12-step program. And then luckily I was so close with my cousins and my first cousins, and most of them were Arsenal fans, and I gravitated to them more. So that's how that happened, really.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, we will. This will be my New Year resolution to get him on a pod. Okay, so we're
all right, perfect.
You lot can hear what I go through, and my poor mother, honestly, doesn't even like football. So, Sophie, right? So we're happy. We've got a clean sheet. We've got a new manager. We've got an ex-Arsenal player. Sorry, not new manager, because I get told off. Head coach. Ex-Arsenal player has a head coach. He looks like he's going to discipline the F out of them. He looks like he's going to make some changes, and I love what he said. So we're quietly confident that things are going to change. It's going to take time. We need to back him. We need to really get behind the team as well. And I have to be honest, I didn't, there was no atmosphere at Goodison for about half hour. And all I heard, was our fans, which was fantastic. But here we go. Our first match with Mr. Mikel Arteta in charge. Bournemouth, 3 o'clock Boxing Day on Amazon Prime. I don't even know what to predict. I think I'm going to go for a draw. I'm just going to say a draw. I'm not going to give a score, because I think I just can't judge us at the moment. I don't even know if we've got a left back fit. And do you know what? I'd like to do a shout out for Saka today. I thought he did so well in that left back position. Mm-hmm. And I thought generally, you know, he played better there than I've seen him where he was. But we need... He needs to get a hold of that team, honestly, and shake them and say, play for the badge. You play for that badge. It means a lot. You play for the Arsenal.
I reckon by this time next year, there'll be 4 players that play today that will be in the first starting 11 this time next year. I think this is going to be a very different team going forward. And Here's the scoop, right? I know we got to go. So here's our next games, and I know we're going to predict one. And I agree with you, because we can always add our scoreline if we want to our video predictions. But we play Bournemouth on Boxing Day, as Amanda said. Then we have Chelsea. After that, our next 5 games, 1, 2, 3, 4 are at home. So we got Chelsea at home, and then 2 days later, we have Man United at home. Talk about ruthless. Then we have Leeds. Marcelo Bielsa arrives at the Emirates in the FA Cup third round, Amanda. And then we play Crystal Palace at Palace. And then we have Sheffield United. And then we go to Stamford Bridge to play Chelsea. That is quite the schedule.
Well, we got to play them, and the games are coming thick and fast now. I'll be at the Emirates for Chelsea, and I'll be watching Bournemouth
as well. You're going to do United on New
Year's
Day?
Yeah, United on a nice cold New Year's Day night, just the night before we all go back to work. We've got more chance. Well, Chelsea aren't playing well at the moment, and nor are United, really. Let's hope that the home advantage might help a little bit. And Mikel, he's got so much work to do. Honestly,
he really does, and but I think he's relishing it, don't you?
Yeah. Do you know what, though? I'm not going to go into it again, but I love watching. I was watching all the Arsenal videos of him coming in to the offices and seeing everyone. And I don't know. Listen, words and actions, we just can't get carried away. I think he will do very well.
Yeah.
But so we need to wish everybody a bloody happy Merry Christmas, don't we?
We do. And Amanda, just as, you know, football's so fluid and we're recording here and we're talking about the games and matches today, but just getting an alert here on Twitter that Martin Peters, MBE, and the scorer of obviously the Three Lions second goal in the 1966 World Cup final has passed away at the age of 76. What a legend.
Yeah. Oh, sad. He was part of my growing up, you know, for the other side. But
another story, yeah. Your dad could probably tell us, hey?
Yeah, definitely.
I think people look back on that as a legend who is part of an era of English football that will never, ever be forgotten. So the Highbury squad, and I'm sure Casey is an ex-player too, tip their hat off to Mr. Martin Peters and the wonderful career that he had, especially obviously being part of that 1966 team, Amanda.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's sad. And
very sad.
Sad,
very sad. But I think it'll be a celebration, a good celebration of his life and recognizing his achievement. So, yes, football is, you know, one day. I mean, these are the things, right? We see so many legends come and go. And this time of year as well makes you really reflective, doesn't it, Amanda? It makes me really reflective. I mean, Christmas is such a great time of year, but it's also not the easiest time of year for a lot of people.
It's not, but we'd like to say a big thank you to everybody that listens to us, that tweets us, that retweets us, that leaves comments. Honestly, I just love interacting. I do as much as I can. Obviously, we're having a life outside of football, but I love it. And, you know, I've been podding now, I don't know, 5 years on and off. And it's just great. You know, we try and bring really interesting guests. And honestly, you got to love Alan Myers. What a guest he is.
Yeah, top class,
real
shelf.
Real humble man, you know. He works really hard and he's just brilliant at what he does. But I'd like to say thank you on behalf of Sophie and I. Merry Christmas to you all. Happy New Year. And let's hope that the man in charge now of our team can take us forward and show the defenders how to defend and the midfielders how to help the defenders, protect them a little bit, and get the oomph going in our club again. Get the Arsenal back. That's what I think, Soph.
This is, if I could ask Santa for one thing, it would be obviously, you know, the usual stuff, but we're going to make this a football Santa wish. And my football Santa wish is that everyone can just have a little bit of patience. We live in such an instant gratification world where we all expect results now. We want things to happen in real time. We want success to be overnight. And the world just doesn't work that way. And we have an opportunity here to have some patience and maybe build the new Arsenal. The same way, you know, when Wenger came in, he inherited some great players, Amanda. You know, Mikel's coming in and he is not inheriting great players. It is not a ready-to-go team to compete at the highest level. This is going to take time. So everyone, let's just have some patience. Get behind him, support each other. Let's not fight each other at stadiums and let's not yell at each other and try to be cordial and respectful, debate and disagree. But if we can just bring a little bit of fan decorum back to the Arsenal, that would be a wonderful thing. And I think it starts with the image of our manager. And I don't care if anyone wants to call him a head coach. He's the manager of the Arsenal. And he leads by example. He looks great. He acts great. He's a classy guy. And we need to follow suit as fans.
Very true. Need to give him time, babe. Listen, you have a great Christmas.
You too. I'm sure I'll be talking to you before then.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, I don't really celebrate it, but thank you very much for that. I'd like to wish happy Hanukkah to all those that do celebrate it. Think it comes in soon.
Happy holidays to whoever's celebrating in any
form.
Yeah,
wherever you're celebrating, be well, be healthy, and most of all, be loved. And on that note, always Arsenal.